Yes, this is Reuven Levy, speaking to you from the Holy Yeshiva of Kutchel Chesed in Yerushalayim, learning the laws of a happy marriage for those who are married and for those who are not yet married. We're learning from the Hebrew version, which has so much more detail in it. Things that you might miss. I tell you, I read this originally in the Hebrew and I've read it again. Rav Dror said today that Rav Arash said about his books that to the Avrichim, they haven't even started to understand what he means in his books. Haven't even started. And as he was saying that, it dawned on me, when I go through this now in class with you, not even a glit of when I read through it. Like what we get now in this club, what we go through and we just pick out the, just because you read, when you read through, we do, your mind picks up the old bit of that paragraph. Yeah, I get his gist. He's basically saying to be good. Oh, okay, next thing. Right? And you miss all the amazing nuances that he's I'm reading this paragraph now, just before we started to get a place of where we're at. And I'm like, psh, who knew that? I never knew that. I never knew that. What you're about to hear now, it's going to blow your mind. It's going to actually blow your mind. You're not going to know what to do with yourself after reading this. So what does he say? So we're in a chapter dealing with appreciating your wife. So what does he say? He says, Ein adam ma'us yoter. There's no one more, ma'us is a very strong word, despicable. There's no one more terrible. Me adam kafui tova, than a person who is ungrateful. Lachen amru chazal, this is the shocker. What did Chazal say? Chazal said the following, or sages said about a person who is even a person who's not actually kafui tova, which means he's not ungrateful positively. He doesn't say anything to show that he's ungrateful. He's not actively ungrateful. Rakhu eino makir b'tova. Rather, only a person who is simply not appreciative. He doesn't realize, he's not appreciative. Right? So you don't have to be actively ungrateful, but even a person who is simply unappreciative, asur lasot lo tova, it's forbidden, not a good idea, asur, forbidden to do kindnesses for him, to do a kindness, to do him a favor. Asur lo tova. Person who is ungrateful, you're forbidden to do for that person a favor. Chazal said, not only that, v'yiteira mizeh, more than this, they said, shekol ha'osa le'tova, anyone who does do him a favor, harehu ka'over, aved avodah zara. It's like you're doing avodah zara. Out of worship. If a person does a favor, if you do a favor for someone who you know is ungrateful, you know that when you do this for him, he's not going to be thankful to you. Even though I'm very mavatel on my honor. I'm. It doesn't bother me that nobody that they take me for granted and no one's going to. But if I know that person is going to not be appreciative, Chazal said it's forbidden to do him a favor. And if you do it a favor for him because you think you know more than Chazal, and I'm going to be good. Even though Chazal told me not to do it, I'm going to do it. Chazal say, it's like you're serving avodah zarah. Nimsa, it turns out, we'll see why. Nimsa, we're going to see why.
When you give tzedakah, you say nothing.
Who?
People say it.
Uh-huh. So a person like that, you shouldn't give him tzedakah.
Like you put in
the... Person's going to... Why? You're doing more harm than good. To yourself and to him. We're going to see why.
Shouldn't give tzedakah why?
To a person who is ungrateful.
What do you mean? Oh, it's like on Purim. You give tzedakah to people that are...
Purim's different. Purim is one special day in the entire year that the rules don't apply. Like, but we're talking about the rest of the year.
Right. It's like people come give tzedakah. There's my synagogue, many come every week the same.
Yeah.
Maybe one is not grateful, the next time you look at it. So,
uh-huh. I mean, the truth is, a person who is grateful, you're likely to give much more. Right? When you have regular people, you know them, and every time you give them, it doesn't matter what you give them, you give them 5 shekels, even 2 shekels, they're full of brachas. Oh, you should have such brachas, such nachas, thank you, whatever. So next time you see him, you want to give him, because he's such... Right?
Don't give them by the road.
No, but someone who's grateful, you definitely would want to give. You give him, you're very happy to give him as much as you can. Personally, that's my experience. Anyway, so we're talking from the other side. A person who's not grateful, Chazal actually say it's forbidden to do that. It's not a good thing. Why? So before we get there, Nimsa, it turns out, Mishu Yodeh Batzma. Also turns out the following comes out of that. A person who knows Batzma in himself, She'ino Yodeh Lakir Tovat, that he knows himself, he doesn't know how to be appreciative. I know that I'm not appreciative. I know that if somebody makes me a cup of tea, I'm not going to appreciate it. I'm going to say, yeah. If he knows that about himself, asur lo latet la'anashim la'asot lo tova. It's forbidden to him to ask people to do him a favor. Why? Because by doing so, he makes the other person stumble in avodah zarah. Because they are now doing a favor for someone who's ungrateful. And Chazal said that they, it's as if they serve avodah zarah. And he also transgresses. Don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. If I'm ungrateful, what's he saying? We're talking right here about marriage. If I'm ungrateful, I shouldn't ask my wife to do stuff for me. Pick up the dry cleaning for me. And I take it for granted. I shouldn't ask her to do it. Anything that I ask someone to do for me, if I'm ungrateful, is... It's causing them a problem and causing me a problem. Why were Chazal so strict about this particular attribute? What's the root, the evil root of this attribute of being ungrateful? The root of it is arrogance, which is the mother, if you like, of all sins. Sha'adam holech im hargasha she'akol magia lo. It means that the person goes, walks around with a view, with a feeling that everything, that he deserves everything. Magia lo. Kulam tzrichim l'shoreh oto. Everybody needs to serve him. Behem gam tzrichim l'odot lo. And they also need to thank him. On the great merit they have in serving him. You need to thank me. Right? Yeah? There were people like that. They tell, especially towards their kids. Do this and be grateful that you're doing it for your Abba. Because my mash is straight off the page. There were people like that. And there were people who don't realize that they're like that. They walk around like that. Right? Like, who's...
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
To walk around to think that you're bad. To think that you deserve it and that people should serve you, very bad.
In other words, if you have a child, you say you should do this because your father is asking.
That's very bad, very bad.
You shouldn't say that.
Shouldn't say that at all. The child should do stuff to serve the Abba, but the Abba should never say. Because then it's coming from the wrong place.
Do it because I'm asking you to do it.
Yeah, it's not. It's very bad education. Very bad. And people do, because it's effective.
Then you're guilty
it's effective.
The rest of your life. You're guilty on the rest of your adult life. If you're the recipient of it.
A parent says to a child, do it because I said so. Or in various variations. Some of it are with threats, some of it were with promises, carrot and stick, but it's the same idea.
So how is it when you have a child, you end up appreciate when you, let's say, on the food? You say, never than you eat and go back.
Yeah. So why is a child not appreciative? Because he's a mirror. It's the only reason. If he sees the parents who are appreciative, then the kids are. If he sees the parents that are thankful and appreciative and say thank you to everyone and everything, then the child does the same. He just copies. He learns from his Abba. Oh, he said thank you, right? And you have to teach your kids. Rabbi Arash says in his book on Garden of Education that one of the most important things to teach, so I think he says it's the most important, you know, that he says. The most important thing to teach your kids is to be grateful. To say thank you to their parents and thank you Hashem. Right? So like, for example, with goodbye. My kids get new clothes. So they know that they say thank you for the clothes, and they say thank you, Hashem.
So we have to have that.
But only if it, you can't make them do that. You can't force them to do that. Kasher Omrim La'adam Kazeh Shehu Tzarech La'adot Lishtoh. And when a person, if you would say to a person like this, right, that thinks they deserve everything in life, if you say to a person like this that he needs to thank his wife for what she does, Mahu Omer, what's he going to tell you? Ma? What? I need Tzarech La'adot La, I need to thank her. She needs to say thank you that she's living with someone like me. She could be with a lot worse people out there. She's the one that should be grateful. Right? There is such a shita out there in the world that people think like that. It's not so uncommon. Right? She should say thank you that I'm prepared to live with her. On every breath that she takes, she needs to thank me. That she merited to be married to me. And you want to tell me now that I also should need to thank her? She needs to say thank you that. I understand that bit. That she's obligated towards me, etc., etc. Haman harasha the hit galmuto. Say a person like this is Haman harasha in another costume. It's Haman harasha I deserve everything. What? I'm God. I walk around deserving because I'm alive. That's it. Magiali. Tov, it's something that we all have, and we all have it to a small extent. It's not like there are some people who have this and they're very bad people, and there are people like me who don't have this and I'm a very good person. No, it's not black and white. There's nothing, no such thing. Everyone has a little bit of this inside of us. Some people have it more, some people have it less. Some people manage to work on it and it goes down. And until you're a complete tzaddik and you've completed all of your tikkun and washed away all your bad traits, you're going to have bad traits. I have bad traits. We all have bad traits. We all have this inside of us. Magiali, right? To some extent, I was in the supermarket queue first before you. I was getting on the bus and you got in my way. I got to the lights and you tried to cut me up. Right? Magiali, whatever disguise it comes, it's the same route. You can't do that to me. I've got rights. What about me? Hello, I'm here too. Hello, don't forget me. Like, all of these are the same story. They're different, weaker and not so bad and whatever, but they're all the same idea.
That would have to learn you. Especially, let's say go to the post office or something. Sometimes if people come, you stay in the line and they come all at once.
Yeah. Get very upset.
Or they come.
That's my life. But it's a sort of what? I was here. I was before you. Come on. What do? I put it into, I dress us up as a Yetzer Tov. It dresses up in there. Oh, it's fair. It's justice. It's just right. I mean, it's obvious that I was here first. I mean, it's not like I've got a bad attribute. It's not like I've got a bad character. I was here first. It's clear. You pushed in. You're right. That's just the dressing up. The truth is, what does really hurt me? It doesn't hurt me that something here is going against the grain of what's truth and right justice. No, what hurts me is, hey, wait a minute, my ego got bruised. Wait a minute, hey, I got bruised. It's not that I'm telling myself, no, I'm only upset because it wasn't the right thing to do in that situation. And Stuart, that's not the real truth. Real truth is, I'm upset because somebody I have an ego that got bruised. If I truly felt myself nothing, Maggie Ali, and I knew it all from Hashem, Hashem sent this person to push in front of me. Okay. And what have I lost? I've lost an extra 3 minutes. I now have to wait in the queue an extra 3 minutes. Or whatever it is. Hashem said you need to wait in the queue 3 minutes. It's good for you. You're going to learn patience. You're going to learn humility. Right? Hashem said, if I know that, and that's the truth, right? That's the only reason why that woman pushed in is because Hashem said so. Hashem said, I'm going to get a person, put it in their head. Right? There's a person over there. She's going to be my shaliach right now. And I'm going to drop it into her head, nip into that queue in front of that guy. And so Hashem put it into her head to do that. Why? For whatever cheshbonot in the world. And it's all good for me. But if I think not, I'm going to start. And I'm going to dress it up in my head that it was something going against Hashem, it's not Derech Eretz, and you're a holy Jew. Right, I'm going to try and blame them. Right? Truth is, it's my own bad midot. If I didn't have my bad midot, for sure, no tzaddik ever got upset when someone pushed in the queue in front of him. Why not? Because it's not correct to get upset. So I know from that my reaction is not correct. I'm not better than a tzaddik. I'm not demanding righteousness and justice better than a tzaddik. A tzaddik, it also wants righteousness and justice. Right? So I should take that my reaction is the correct reaction. I have to see, well, wait a minute. This is not the correct reaction. Why am I reacting this way? Well, it's not right, it's not fair. Yeah, and then I get past all that. It's not right, it's not fair. And then if I think about it enough, I'm going to get to the fact that my ego was bruised. What about, you know, I took it personally. And that's something to work on. Because that's what I'm suffering with. Like, who's suffering with that? Only me. The person who pushed in, they're in and gone, and they're out of my life. They're not. And who's there all upset? It's me. So I clean my own bad midot for myself. I don't clean them off for other people. I'm the one who has to live with me. I'm the one who just ruined my whole day and got upset. I have to live with that. I have to live with myself. It's not fun. It's actually the best thing in the world for me is to recognize that I still have all of these bad attributes, to whatever extent I have them, and to work on trying to remove them. To say to Hashem, I still get very upset. I'm still very arrogant. I still get upset when people push in the queue in front of me. I'd like to not get upset. I'd like to be calm. I'd like to be happy. Hashem, can you help me to, can you please get rid of this?
Okay. But I see when you pray for everything, it's like, when you take your hair in the milk, today in the morning I was in test for the cup. So every meal you have to bring. So I came, was the first. I prayed before, in 10 minutes everything was, like you take your hand in the milk. You did nothing, the sugar was alive and the food finished. Years ago, I had so much trouble.
So much stress, because you worry what's going to be, and they're going to find this. I tell you, taking the test every year, and taking the test is like going into Shemayim. It's like you're standing there in front, and they're testing you. They're going to find something wrong, and it's going to be wrong, and it's going to have to do. And it's very scary. It's like a person can get very.
It is.
People go crazy.
When they go to test,
the person, we should remember that when we come, we have to, I have to work on my midot, I have to work on being a better person, and it's like all these things I have to do. Who am I doing for the end? In the end, I'm doing them for me. In the end, I'm the one who benefits more than anyone else. My wife's going to put up with me either way. But to have shalom by it for myself is who's going to benefit most. Oh, you want me to read the book? You want me to actually do all this and put in the effort? Yeah. Who are you doing it for? You're the one who's going to benefit more than anyone in this world and the next. If we listen, if we try and see the Ramban, Nachmanides, in his letter to his son. He had a nice little article version of it. Anyway, so in there, it's also written in the back of many siddurim. He says in there, one of the things, it's a whole big thing, but letter. One of the lines he says in there is, whenever you get up from your learning, try and see something in there that was for you. You shouldn't just learn something stand. Oh, that was interesting. Try and find something to... what can I learn from that? What can I change? What can I be? That's what all of these books, all of these books are to help us be better people for ourselves, apart from anything else. For Hashem, for the world, for our wives, Yofi, they also benefit. But, no one benefits more than we do. Atamuvan, Maduamu Chazal, Shasola Soktovala Damze. Now we can understand why it's forbidden for a person to do a favor for a person like this. Why? Sharehu Haman Harasha. Because behold, he's Haman Harasha, this guy. Ha'oseh Atzmo Avodah Zara, because he makes himself Avodah Zara. I'll explain in a minute. Kulam Tzrichim Lishtavot Lo. Everyone needs to bow down to him, so to speak. B'shamesh Oto, to serve him. Kulam Chayavim Lo. Everyone is obligated to him. A person like this makes themselves into Avodah Zara. This is what they said about Haman. There was nothing wrong with bowing down to a dignitary. Right, to bow to a king is there a heretz? Doesn't transgress the Torah. It's not a avodah zarah to bow down, so to speak, to show honor to someone who's in an authoritative position. Right, but why was it different with Haman? Because Chazal said, it doesn't say in Megillah, but Chazal say that Haman made himself like an avodah zarah. So when you were bowing down to Haman, you as if you were bowing down to avodah zarah. What does it mean? It means he was completely. He thought he was God, right? And that's what the Magiali syndrome is. That's what this, even to its little extent, I'm God. I deserve. I'm in charge. How dare you? How dare anyone? Right? It's a scary phrase. That phrase, "How dare? How dare you?" How is like a. It's such a twisted, such a that I have a right never to be. Anything against me that I can think of, right? How dare you put me in a give me the wrong plate of food? How dare you put me in that room and not a room with a balcony? How dare you treat me this way? Right? How dare you treat me this way? Who am I to dare anyone to do nothing? It's mamash like I have some God-given right to anything. Hashem's in control. Hashem says, now it's good for you to get smacked. You're going to get smacked. Hashem says, now it's good for you that your left little finger is going to have its tendon ripped. And it's going to get ripped. Oh. Hashem did it. It's for the good. He knows why. I don't. I trust him. He knows what he's doing. He's in control. I'm going to tell him not. Hashem said, I want to get you out of the cleaning this year. So I'm going to give you the smallest possible injury that I can give you that's going to take you out of action. And it's a big kindness. Who knows what the reason is?
I tell you, maybe it was a tikkun for other people. Maybe there was a people who fell down. So you take the...
And if you take it well, we learn that today in the Gemara in Brachot. If you take it well, Hashem pays you back double. If on your sorrow, it says in Brachot, Samach Gimel Amud Aleph 63a says that if a person accepts suffering from Hashem, meaning that they thank Hashem for it, or they pray to Hashem for mercy that it came from him, then Hashem pays them back double.
One in the synagogue, the old man,
yeah,
he's every day he's sick, but he's every day complaining.
That's why he's sick.
Yeah, but
he's not complaining. He's not complaining because he's sick. He's not complaining because he's sick. He's sick because he's complaining.
I see it.
Spiritual law.
So obvious.
Spiritual law.
So when he comes in the other mood and say, "I'm thank you," he's coming 100%. I'm not sure.
So sure.
But he comes in this mood.
And again. Each of these attributes we have in ourselves as well.
Yeah, of course.
We all also have, even...
You learn from so.
Right? Even though I'm not out there complaining and telling the world, I'm inside I'm a little grumbling, oh, does it have to happen? Oh, I can't believe it. It's amazing, when I went to the miyun, the emergency room, to get this done, strapped up, and I was so grateful. There I am, sitting there in the emergency room, with... the end of my little finger, the last little tendon, on the end, it's broken, ripped, but it doesn't hurt at all. I can even bend my finger, it's just a little bit crooked, right? So it doesn't hurt at all, right? It just needs to be set. And now I'm in the wheelchair, and I'm looking around, complete, right? And there's me. I'm like embarrassed to be there. Poor Hashem. Embarrassed to be there with my little finger. I sat down in the, they called me in to my turn. I sat down, and the nurse grabs my arm and puts a thing on my arm, like the blood pressure thing. And I've got a little thing on my, she's like strapping up this arm for the blood pressure. I'm like, I've got a little, just, no, you just over here on the finger. She's like, no, we need to do this to everyone. So, but I felt so grateful to Hashem. The tiniest little thing that doesn't even hurt and it's just a bit annoying and look at, you know, poor Hashem. Depends how you take it. Or you could take it, oh, I can't believe what it happened to me, it's so dumb, I blame myself, I'm so dumb, I can't believe that I got my finger caught in a towel, it's such a stupid thing to do, how could I do it, how stupid can I mean, like I can blame myself for an injury that is just so, or to, to blame the crazy notions a person can have. But to be happy, grateful, poor Hashem, very happy. Time of goodness. Now practice to be a coin as well. It's like great. They can like take these ones up because you can now do that thing with the fingers, right?
Yeah, so the bulk is slow.
And I can practice now to be a coin. So it's got so many benefits, right? Get one of these nice things, keep my arm resting, yeah. More people have spoken to me in the yeshiva in the last 2 days and then the whole time I've been here. Everyone's coming up to wish me refresh name or what happened, how are you? I'm meeting everyone, it's just amazing. Try it. It's wonderful. You want to meet some people. Strap your arm. It's great. But a person the opposite, a person who thinks everything's owing to them. Right, is Mamash, he's like making himself a Buddha Zora. He's making himself into a god. Like, no one deserves anything. We're creations, we're creatures, we're created. Hashem is doing everything. He's doing everything for our good and our kindness. We don't know that, right? But we have nothing. We're not in control. We have no right to demand anything. We have no right to expect anything. I have no right to expect to wake up tomorrow morning. Who's got a right? I'm going to get upset. What? You didn't wake me up? I'm going to get upstairs and remonstrate. How do you not let me wake up another day? Who's going to wait? We're here because Hashem wants us here. So we're here. If he wants to give me a Makkah, he's going to give me a Makkah. If he wants to give me $1 million, he'll give me $1 million. I can ask and pray and beg and work on myself. That's all part of the... That's what he wants. It's his creation. But to expect anything is not it's not part of the plan. Right, and a person who does that, he's just asking for trouble. Right, his life is not a life. A person who lives like this, we saw. Right, Haman HaRasha had everything. Children, he had 200, not only 10, he apparently had 250 according to Midrash. But he had at least 10 boys. 108 boys? My name? 100? I thought he had 250. Tov, he had lots of children, lots, even if you want to say only 10, but Tov, 10 is enough. But he had other. Say he had all the money in the world, right? Because we saw that he gave 10,000 silver coins to the king at the drop of a hat. So he was wealthy beyond belief. He had control of 127 states. He was the prime minister of all of them, in control of everything. Yeah. Everyone bowed down to him, right? He had everything he wanted. And one person, Mordechai, didn't bow down to him. What did he say? He said, "My life's not worth living." He said it. He had testified on himself. My life's not worth anything. Lo shaveh klum. All I have, lo shaveh klum. It doesn't mean for me nothing. Why? Because he had this bad trait. And anyone who has that bad trait, that's what comes with it. They're killing themselves. We're killing ourselves. To the extent that we have bad traits, any of them, this one, for example, ruining our own lives. Where someone has... Speaking to someone about holding a grudge. They got upset with someone, they fell out with them, and they still felt bad about it. Right? Why are you holding a grudge? It's eating you up inside. The other person doesn't even know you hold a grudge or care, or he doesn't care about you. Who's that affecting? You're like hurting him by holding a grudge against him? You think you're doing something to him? You're nothing, you're just killing yourself. You're living with that hatred inside you. eating you up and you're doing nothing. At least do something, then you're going to get a benefit out of it. But there's no point in having all these things inside of us that do nothing to anyone else and just eat away at us. The Yetzirah is trying to kill us every day with our own bad traits. Trying to show us, pretend to us that it's good for us. No, it's really good, it's good for you. There's a lie behind everything that we're holding on to. We're only holding on to because there's a lie that we believe that's telling us it's a good thing. No, you need to be that way, you need to be strict, you need to be angry sometimes, it's important, right? We have reasons, otherwise we won't bother. We assign reasons for everything.
Okay.
The truth is, if we come back to the teachings of our teachers, our Chazal, the Torah, and our rabbis who teach us how to interpret Torah, and they show us what things are good for you and what aren't. And if they tell you anger's not good, then you have to trust them, anger's not good. Even if I think different. No, it's good to have a bit of anger. It's a Yetzirah. I can't rely on myself. I've got a Yetzirah that tells me otherwise. It's good to criticize your wife a little bit. It's much better for Shalom Bayit if she feels like she's on her toes. Everyone has their own stupid reasons. The Yetzirah that tells them lies. We can't rely on ourselves. We have to rely on the Torah. We have to rely on Hashem. We have to rely on our rabbis to tell us what are the things that we need to follow. That's why Rav Natan says, throw away your own sechel. Throw away your own opinion. Your opinion is tainted. Throw it away. Rav Natan did the same. Rav Natan was huge. At the age of 19, he was already a dayan and a rabbi over a great area of that place in Eastern Europe, right? And at 19, and what we're not talking about being a dayan over a place, right? We're talking about over a place where you had Talmidei Chachamim, right? Where you had huge people. So he was huge. And when he came to Rabbeinu, he said he threw away everything, his entire knowledge, he threw it all away to learn from Rabbeinu, because he knew that if he didn't do that, he would never learn. You can't learn from anyone else unless you get rid of all your. And he didn't have Shtuyot. So Kal Vachomer, you and me, whose head is filled up with
garbage
and galut for the last how many years, that based on ideas and understandings and imaginations and reasoning and logic that's all completely either twisted or it's based on incorrect fundamentals. The fundamentals are wrong. The fundamentals that came in when we were kids told us it's right to do this, it's bad to do that. We learned it from. So now my logic's based on tainted understanding. The best thing I can do is to empty my mind of everything and to go with people who actually know the truth. Yes?
To do that whole process of emptying the mind, you start with the tshuva through happiness, with the tshuva, because if the tshuva is through sadness, that's going to keep the trait going.
Right.
You're going to bring the trait from the net. The tshuva will clean you for the day, but you may bring that trait to the next day, right?
You're right. The tshuva process, right. I think it's like this. The tshuva process is more of a process, meaning it takes a long time.
Okay.
But in order, the decision to throw away my tainted wisdom, like we read today, and Rav Dror read one line of Likutei Moran. What did it read in that one line? That a person, two lines maybe, that a person should stay away from foreign wisdoms. Right? We can make a decision to throw away my sechel. But what does it mean? It means that it's not even part of the teshuva process. Teshuva can last years and years, and in the field and praying and whatever, it's part of the process. But when something happens to me, right, when this happens to me, at that instant, I've got a choice. I can get upset and angry, right? That's all. I can throw that away. Say no. I haven't got anything to fill in the gap at the moment. But I know that's not right. I can throw that away. That is not the path I'm choosing. What am I choosing? I don't know. I don't care. Hashem will show me in good time what this is all about. But right now, I'm throwing away completely the inclination to get upset, the inclination to get angry, the inclination to blame someone. Because that, I know, is an incorrect wisdom. What is the correct wisdom? I don't know, I haven't got it yet. But I know that's flawed. I know that from my teachers. That's not the right way of approaching the situation.
But isn't it so that our message in this, we have to find out why this.
But that message may come today, tomorrow, next week. I don't know.
No,
I'm going to have this for 6 weeks. Hold on, I have for 6 weeks. It might not come. Right, but right now, what I do know, I don't know why. I don't know why it's there. But I do know what's not. I do know that it's not my fault. I do know that it's not right to be angry. I do know that I'm not going to blame Hashem. Right? All those foreign wisdoms I can throw away. That's my existing setup. That's what I have inside me, the natural inclination. But I can draw a line and say, nope, I'm cutting that off now. I'm not going down that route. I'm throwing it away. So what's going to be? What's going to think? Nope. Who says something? Who said I need to have a decision about it? Who says I need to? No one. Okay, maybe I'm not getting to the height of finding the good reason and doing shuva. Yofi, wonderful. But that's already a wonderful, very high level to do. Much more important is to get rid of the sumi ra vasetom. First of all, get rid of the bad, and then worry about filling yourself up with wisdoms of kavanot and right? Before I can start to pray a prayer with kavanah and intention from Hashem and to put all wisdoms into my prayer, first of all, I have to get rid of all those bad thoughts that are coming through my head. Right? So I've got to get rid of them. And then, right, eventually, Bezrat Hashem, Hashem will be as a gift. If he wants to give me the gift, give me all that good stuff, fine. But my job is what I can do, which is I can prevent myself from falling into those nonsenses that are called.
So take Polonius. Polonius had a trait we're discussing today, which is gratitude.
Yeah.
And Polonius is trying to go out for the wisdoms so that Amunah precedes his intellect. If he's going out into the field to do tshuva, he's going to admit the truth in happiness that he was an ingrate.
Yes.
Then ask Hashem to heal him in the field, to help him work on his character trait of gratitude.
Yes.
Go into the garden of gratitude and ask Hashem to give him das, to strengthen him with gratitude every day, and to then go out and make that part of his chest bone and nefesh every day, and then continue to pray for Amunah, and to then say, help me fix this trait so I can move forward to serve you, however we spend on that.
Yeah, that would be, if a person could do that, that would be amazing.